Wizard Team, a Harry Potter cast for true Potterheads. Each week we discuss a chapter from the series with all of our knowledge of the Wizarding World. Be warned, this is a spoiler-heavy podcast. I'm Bayana.
And I'm Robin. We were really excited to go chapter by chapter and discuss all of our thoughts and feelings about the original book series, but that's over now. Today we're discussing scenes 43 through 47 of Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
But first we have some announcements and reminders. This is an interactive podcast and we want to know your thoughts, so please feel free to tweet along with us. Use the hashtag WizardTeam on Twitter to join the conversation.
Love our blog, love WizardTeam, have a few extra galleons lying around. Support Black Girls Create, check out our new Patronus perks, or send us a cheering charm at blackgirlscreate.org/support.
Thanks to y'all, we've already hit our fundraising goal of $500. For the rest of May, we are trying to reach our stretch goal, and we'll donate 50% of that stretch to We Need Diverse Books, who are putting more books featuring diverse characters into the hands of all children. All donations still count towards the house cup, so when you send us a cheering charm, be sure to include that your house. And the winning team will get to vote on what content we release from the Black Girls Create vault. If you can, go to blackgirlscreate.org/support, and it'll get us the link to, it'll take you to the link to our PayPal, but you could also go directly to paypal.me/weblackandnerds, and then make that there. This is like the last week that you can do it, because once June starts, then our fundraiser's over. But yeah, and thanks to everyone who's already supported. We really appreciate you.
Shout out to you, Ravenclaws especially. I mean, thank you to everyone. But, you know, I rep my house. We have Black Girls Create merch, so head over to our website and step up your nerd fashion and stationery game. DFTBA is back at it and shipping and doing all that fun stuff. So if you wanted to grab a Tarbis shirt, a We Black and Nerd shirt, you know, get into the ministry that is Bagini and get yourself Bagini buttons, all of that is found at DFTBA.
Yep, and if you want to support us but don't have the funds to do so, rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Also, subscribe to Black Witches Weekly, our newsletter created by Wizard Bay Deborah, with nerd news and links to what's been going on. So if you want to be in the know, be sure to subscribe. You can go to our website, blackgirlscreate.org.
Pause. Yes? But why aren't you telling? We told you.
Tell someone else. No.
Did you tell them that we're recording? The whole point was
It doesn't
that,
matter.
Yeah.
Here I come.
The whole point was for that we wouldn't have to do that.
You said to tell Rob.
Who said tell Rob?
I thought that's what she told you.
No, I said tell somebody. She wasn't listening. She was no, like, yeah. I know. You know she does. And then when it's actually time. What are you saying?
All right.
Wizard Team News.
And now for Wizard Team News. Take our audience survey, guys.
Do it. Thanks.
It is a truth universally acknowledged. That the longer it takes you to take our survey, the more Pride and Prejudice gifts I will send. And I know you're tired of seeing them, because I'm tired of trying to find some new ones.
But yeah, no, it really helps us to plan for future things. So if you haven't already, please take the survey. It also helps us know like who's actually listening to our stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can find it on our Twitter. The link is on there.
If you go to our website, you'll see a button that says give feedback. That's our survey. So just give, you know, click that button and it pops up. You don't have to do much more. It takes about 6 minutes and it's really, really helpful. So, you know, it lets us know who you are, what you're into, what things that we do that you like, what things that we do that we don't like, et cetera, ad nauseum.
Yep. Magical birthdays. Shout out to Bree and Jaquinta, whose birthday, they both have the same birthday on Monday. So shout out to y'all. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hope y'all have a great time. And yeah.
We don't really have a tangent,
which I think is fine.
But I do want to let y'all know that objectively, I have the cutest dog.
Okay.
Like objectively. Even when she is literally getting on my nerves by sticking her whole face in a hole of dirt. Her whole face, fam. I mean, not to being like, it's cute. Me being like, you gonna bathe her? I ain't trying to bathe her. She's still the best dog. She's very good at her job of emotional support. Like, she's like, oh, you sad, fam? Watch me.
Say less.
Say less. That's it. That's my tangent. And it's not even a tangent. It's just me giving you scientific facts. Like, just dropping knowledge. I'm sorry. I'm sure you love your dog. I'm sure your dog is lovely. But what did Bowman say in that thing? They're trying, but they can't do what I do.
His dad genes.
They're trying to give it to you.
All right. Previously on Wizard Team, Jacob confronted Queenie about the fact that she, like, low-key, high-key put the Imperius curse on him and then kidnapped him across
international waters.
Mm-hmm. And then she turned it around on him and got mad because he maybe thought that she was crazy after having found out all the crazy shit she did. So then she got mad and ran away. And then Newt sees this postcard from Tina to Queenie that's just like, what a beautiful city. And he's like, wow, she's in Paris. Wow, she must be looking for Credence. And she didn't say she was looking for Credence. She didn't really say nothing other than that the city was beautiful. But, you know, whatever. And then, so now they're finally off to, or, yeah, now they're off, they're all, Newt, sorry, is like, okay, Jacob, now we're going to Paris. We have to now because Queenie's there. And she's looking for Credence. And I'm not really clear what changed in this case, like, from when he was like, but Dumbledore, I can't cross country lines. And now all of a sudden Tina's there, so he can.
Yeah. But then we get to Paris and we're seeing, we see Tina. Tina's in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And she's following Credence because, like Newt said, Newt was absolutely correct from reading that two-sentence post-it. And they go to a circus in which we find out about underbeings, which are really just beings, you know,
mm-hmm.
that have been de-beinged, dehumanized.
Beings that have been de-beinged. I mean, yes.
You know what I meant. we figure out all sorts of dumb shit. And Credence is like, telling Nagini, who
is his friend, girlfriend or something.
His like confidant, who also shares a name with a, you know,
beloved
snake. I don't know.
I mean, we love her now.
World renowned snake.
Infamous. A noted snake.
An infamous creature. They just share a name because I refuse to believe that they are one and the same. And Credence tells Nagini that today's the night.
I will say, like, for those of y'all who somehow missed this information and, like, have not been keeping up at all, and this is the first time you're really, like, getting any info on on Crimes of Grindelwald, it technically is supposed to be Nagini, you know, the one that we know and love.
Yeah.
And sort of love. but we here reject that because
it's what the dumb. Fuck? Amani says, a fashion icon.
Yes.
Noted. And DJ says, a noted fashion icon. And DJ says, the circus is so fucked up. Also, gonna be trying hard not to think too much about half elves. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of half creatures.
We'll get there. We'll get even deeper into that.
Yeah.
Not today, but.
But yeah.
Soonish.
So, basically, Queenie finds Credence and Nagini. Queenie finds Credence. Credence and Nagini decide tonight's the night, and we don't know for what. Into the circus we go, after a word from our sponsors.
All right, cool. So, scene 43, we're
wait,
in...
Wait.
It's a mojito break.
I might need more rum.
We have more rum. We should have put more rum in here.
Especially after what's happening in scene
43. Yeah.
All right.
Dang, hate to see it.
Hate to see it. Let's go.
All right, so Skinder, who's like some dude who doesn't matter, but he is like, I guess, the ring... I don't think they call them ringleaders. Ringleader of the circus.
Ringmaster.
It was ring something.
Ringleader.
Ringleader? Okay, yeah. Cool. He's, I guess, I assume the ringleader of the circus, but is also like an asshole, but also like... All after these scenes, are... we will not see him again. So yeah, like, he does not matter. But he's standing beside a circular platform cage in the middle of a crowd, many of whom are drunk, because of course that's what you do when you go to the circus. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't been to the circus since I was like...
I went to the circus like... once when I was a child with my godfather, and was like, the popcorn hit everything else.
I don't remember. I went to one, and I don't remember really anything other than that.
I either went to Ringley's or I went to Barnum and Bailey's.
I went to Barnum and Bailey's.
They're different.
Yeah, I went to Barnum and Bailey's, but that's all I remember.
There was a tent, and the popcorn was good.
I want to say we were at the Oracle Arena.
We were probably at the Sports Arena in San Diego.
Yeah.
But Sports Arena, since my whole life, the entirety of my existence, the Sports Arena has been trash.
Mm.
But it is also the place in which the swap meet is, and like right next to it. So things happen. They go down in the Sports Arena. My whole existence, I've been told, don't buy a concert if it's at the Sports Arena, because you ain't going to be able to hear nothing. And it's gross. The sound's terrible. But if the thing is outside the Sports Arena,
then it's fine. See, like, Oracle, I don't actually, again, like, I don't know for a fact that I saw Barnum and Bailey at the Oracle
where else would it be?
Well, I only think that because, like, everything has been at the Oracle. Like, all the Warriors games I saw, I was at the Scream Tour in the Oracle Arena. Bow Wow was coming from the ceiling. Yeah, so I saw a lot of things at Oracle, so I just assume that that's where it happened, but who knows? I don't remember.
It doesn't
I don't
matter.
Even know how old I was. I just know I was a kid and that I saw it, but I don't...
I think I was like 6 or 7, because I feel like... Honestly,
like that.
I did one thing with my godfather, and then I don't think I ever saw him again. It's like, well, I doubt it's one thing, but that's the one like big thing I remember my godfather like taking me to, and I don't remember.
Oh wait, am I talking about Universal Circus? Did I see now I'm like, did I see Universal Circus?
I've never even heard of Universal Circus.
I think
black,
I saw a video. I think, oh, you
is
know
it
what?
Black?
I
is
saw,
it the black circus?
I saw, yes, I saw Universal Circus, but it was like a video, and it was on the same night that I saw Blackula. So, yeah. And I saw Blackula last, so it wasn't like a...
So it didn't stick.
It didn't stick, but it also wasn't like a... Oh, we just watched this scary ass movie. Here's like some lighthearted shit for you 4-year olds. It was.
Here's some lighthearted shit. Let's watch
Blackula. Which, like, you know, is not. It's probably not a horror movie, but in my head it is. Always will be. So, yeah. Anyway.
So, Portia's saying, did it never make it to California?
I mean,
the Universal Circus was fire. It might have. I've never heard.
I literally have been to one circus, and that's why I'm like, I don't remember. It might have been, I might be switching Universal and Barnum and Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one might have been, one was on video, one I saw in person. I just don't know which was which.
And I don't remember what I did 2 days ago. So, I don't remember Universal Circus. I say I've never heard of it. I may have heard of it before, but right now, my current state where my brain is, I don't know who that is or what that is.
Bianca says it was in Oakland, so that's probably the one I went to. Scratch. Barnum and Bailey, I saw on TV. Universal, I saw in Oakland.
My church trip probably go to no circus. The circus is of the devil. Maybe Universal is different. Maybe it's like a godly circus.
Not a godly circus.
The AMEs I was hanging out with and the Baptists, when I was growing up, I went to a Baptist church and an AME church, and we weren't going to no circus.
That's crazy. Anyway, don't remember.
Did they uplift the Lord there? We're not going.
Okay, so anyway, scene 43.
Tangent!
Man, boom, look at that. We love to see it. It just, you know, it provides.
It comes when it comes.
You know? So Skinder is like, next in our little show of freaks and oddities. Again, like, what does that mean
in a world of magic? Where
shit is already weird. Like, I just... Anyway, I'd be like, oh, in the world of freaks and oddities, this dude who can't do magic, that's crazy.
Crazy!
Look at him file his taxes.
Look at this idiot washing his dishes with soap and water.
With his hands.
With his hands.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh no, she has to get up to turn the light on.
Oh my God. He used the bathroom on himself and then had to clean it up.
Yo, wait. The remote is all the way over there. She got to get up to get it. That's
wild.
Oh,
that's crazy.
That's the Wizarding Circus I would be trying to be at. But instead, he's presenting a maledictus. He whips open the curtains. There's,
also, sorry. I underlined and I said nine. Do we count maledictus as a beast? I don't want to because fuck that noise. I don't like it. But do we? I put 9 question marks.
Yeah, I
you'll have to get Portia.
I am. Yeah. Sorry.
That was good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think yes, because that's what she's mean, but it's not a beast because it's a person.
It's a human being.
But I think that like an Obscurus was supposed to be counted as a beast too.
I don't like that either.
But that's the whole thing is like the whole like she like again she just puts these things she creates these things in these classifications but doesn't really interrogate them. So then you're just sitting here. Like,
oh wait, because the next thing that Skinder says,
well, okay.
really tells you it puts in stark perspective how J.K. Rowling feels.
Exactly. So he presents the maledictus, which is Nagini in a snakeskin dress, which like you know we just gonna hammer in the. The symbolism, I guess. Or not even symbolism, it's just like not.
Heavy on the.
It's just heavy handed. Anyway, yeah. Once trapped in the jungles of Indonesia, she is the carrier of a blood curse. Such underbeings are destined through the course of their lives to turn permanently into beasts.
So.
One, no. No.
This woman who they trapped in the jungles of Indonesia, she was minding her own business.
Yep.
Has no, you know what? I don't know how blood curses work. Was she cursed? Was someone in her family cursed? And she carries a curse with her? I don't really know. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But she is a living, breathing human, thinking human.
Mm-hmm.
Such underbeings are destined through the course of their lives to turn permanently into beasts.
I'm still not really sure what the fuck an underbeing is, other than like a racist term.
I just know
it's racist. I don't know what it means. Yeah. Tina makes her way around the back of the crowd looking for credence. Elsewhere in the tent, an elegant, suited French African, Yusuf Kama, is
not important.
Not important.
I mean, he's kind of important.
Again, like more.
But how?
Like, just more people who don't matter.
In this, like, page, you have Tina capitalized as a major character, Credence capitalized as a major character, Yusuf Kama capitalized as a major character, Skinder capitalized as a major character, and Nagini capitalized as a major character. Of these 5 people, Credence and Tina are the only ones that are going to go into book or movie 3.
Right.
Or even, I'm in movie 3 my ass, they're the only ones that are going to go into act 3.
Mm-hmm. Does Yusuf show up in act? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I'm not even gonna say it. Like, so, yeah, it just doesn't, there's too many, again. Like, it was very, like, in the first movie, it was very much like, okay, there are 2 different plots happening here. Like, 2 different A plots, not even like, because, you know, you have a main plot and then you have the B plots and whatever. There are 2 different main plots happening and they're at war with each other and then at the end they kind of figure out a way to pull them together. Here, there are about 5 or 6 different plots happening, and you don't really know which are important. And then they just kind of stumble upon each other at the end, and you're like, well, I don't even care. Like,
can I tell you which ones are important? None of them.
None of them.
None of them are important.
And that's why.
This doesn't need to exist.
Yeah.
So Yusuf is scanning the crowd rather than watching Skinder. There's a black feather in the band of his fedora. Why is that important?
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean? And, like, if it's important later down the road or something, like, put a note in here that this is going to, like, of note or something. I don't, it's just, like, You're describing things as if they're important.
Why does he have on a fedora in the Wizarding World?
Come back anyway.
Y'all wearing fedoras?
Yeah, they all wearing fedoras and three-piece suits. He is literally in the Wizarding World at the Circus of Underbeings or whatever in a three-piece suit. His suit might be brown. I don't think it's gray.
I don't know. I really would have no way of knowing.
It might be gray. I don't really remember, but I think it's brown.
It's unnecessary. Anyway, Skinder is being gross, but look at her. So beautiful. Yes, so desirable. But like, ew. No. Why? Are you serious?
She is in this cage and he is just talking.
Anyway, but soon she will be trapped forever in a very different body. Every night when she sleeps, she is forced to become, and then nothing happens. So it's interesting to me because it's like, okay, when she sleeps, that's when she becomes the snake.
But she can also do it on command.
Mm-hmm. So then, like, I guess it really doesn't matter, but it feels to me like it should be one or the other, because it should just be like, oh, she's forced to become a snake, go to sleep, or some shit, you know what I mean? Not mm-hmm. like, anyway, nothing happens, the crowd jeers at Skinder, Nagini looks at Skinder out of hatred, and then he does the prompt of, like, she is forced to become, Credence and Nagini's eyes meet across the big top. Tina spots Credence. Kama also spots Credence. They both are like starting to edge towards him. And then Skinder whips the bars. Nagini closes her eyes. She melts into coils. And then Skinder's like, she will forever be trapped in the body of a snake. So basically the entire point of the scene is to like give us this backstory on a character who literally says two things. And also like... does not matter. Like, we didn't need her in this story. And like,
we definitely didn't need her to be Nagini.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she definitely didn't need to be Nagini, even a little bit. There's no point in this story that it's like, oh yeah, now she for sure needs to be Nagini. No.
Yeah.
Never.
Because then,
Then she suddenly strikes at Skinder through the bars and utters a cry in Parseltongue, which apparently she can speak, which I guess sort of makes sense, but also. I don't know if that's, like, inherent. Can all snakes speak Parseltongue, or is it, like, a certain level of snake? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Skinder crumples bleeding, which is, like, it all happens so fast. So it's just sitting there, like, wait, what? Like, how all of a sudden, why do you have this cage in which you could still get bit from outside the cage? And you can't even get in.
And DJ also mentions the fact that if she can turn into a snake on command, how has she not eaten him yet?
Right. It don't make any sense. Credence smashes open the Fire Drake's cage. They soar to freedom Credence smashes open the Fire Drake's cage and they soar to freedom like fireworks. And then the big top catches fire and then everybody's freaking out because...
I want to go home. Also, Bianca says, how did we get here? No, nobody. No, 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 no.
My favorite part, I will say, about the Patronus chat, like, y'all are great, obviously, but it's that because Nagini's in here now, we get all the, like, Slack bot responses, so, Stacy says, I just never needed or wanted a Nagini backstory, and then Slackbot says, it's onesie season, and, like, that's nice, you know?
Yeah.
Just a plus for her, like, being in here, that helps.
Yeah.
A little. Scene 44. The big top's on fire. Fire drakes weave patterns in the sky above it, trailing showers of sparks. Performers are packing up. Tina apparates and with a flick of her wand puts out the fire. So I don't understand why she apparates. Like, it's one of those things.
Because
now.
The effect
it's
is cool.
It's the effect. And like, and that's annoying because I said this when we were watching or when we were reading Fantastic Beasts, that like I always thought the effect of the apparating, like when I watched the movie, I was like, oh. And somehow it was more noticeable than, like, all the other times they apparated in the original series, yeah, where I was like, oh, it's no, it's
they
cleaner.
Upgraded it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, this looks tight. But, like, that doesn't mean I just want y'all to be apparating 2 feet. Like, for what?
Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you know the movie with Angelina Jolie and James McAvoy Wanted, where they can bend the bullets?
Yes. Wanted? I love that movie.
I love that movie, too. But there's one part in which they're just bending bullets. And I'm like, yeah.
But why? But why are you bending
bullets? Y'all can bend the bullets.
Just shoot the motherfucker. Like, yeah. You're doing a lot just to shoot
the bullets bend. Guess what?
We get it.
Got it. The scene where she does it and kills everybody in that circle. One.
And then gets.
Oh. All of y'all can bend bullets. So why were you
standing in a circle?
After the first. I mean, I know bullets also, move real quick, but
do
like.
Bullets move like that fast that they can
through heads
and move multiple heads.
Like, multiple not heads. Just one head. That was, I'm just like.
Multiple heads.
But all, and also, all of y'all know that this is an option.
But she literally. That shit is honestly, I actually really fucking love that movie. We should watch that
movie. I love that movie.
And
it's a
I
much
saw that movie in the theater and I was like, yo, that movie's lit. I was like, this shit.
It's a much better movie than this movie. But like, every time I watch that movie, I'm like.
In hindsight, why?
Y'all. They in that circle and I'm like, but y'all.
But y'all, y'all know you could bend bullets.
You know.
A perfect circle.
Okay? And she, and like, again, it's the effect. She does a whole flourish. Bam. By the time she, her arm, I'm
she threw it
down.
Like she was sidearm like a pitcher. She
right.
Was,
and I know that they slow it down, but like, all y'all can do this. So, or at least you know, like you may not have perfected it the way yeah. that Angelina perfected it, but you know that it is possible to yeah. bend these bullets. So get out the way. Same here. I'm like, all of y'all can apparate. So if everyone can apparate, it's like, yeah, sure, it's a cool effect, but it doesn't mean anything. And like, apparition is a thing that you get to, what was it, year? It was sixth year. Fifth year? Sixth year.
Well, you have to be 16, so sixth or seventh year.
Yeah.
Well, maybe fifth year, but probably sixth or seventh.
Yeah. But, so in world, it's annoying. Like, we have that whole scene when the twins first start to apparate, and they're apparating down two stairs and whatever, whatever. And Molly is like, but why, though? Like, we mm-hmm. can still walk. Like, apparition is a way to get you from point A to point B when point B is further away.
Yeah. Anyway.
Shut up.
The zoo, which makes me want it, but I'm not going to do it because.
Zoo woo.
Never mind. Anyway, so the zoo woo crate is on fire.
That's number 11, because there's a hippogriff earlier, and I put that as number 10.
Okay. I think the zoo was mentioned in the last, but I don't remember.
Okay. I can't remember.
Whatever. Anyway, 11.
I'm just counting beasts.
It explodes out of the crate, the size of an elephant, and all that stuff. It's abused. But, like, honestly, this is not Fantastic Beasts. This is Fantastic Beasts. The crime is Grindelwald, and so we're just going to keep going. Poor beast, but let's keep moving.
Tina sorry spots, to these beasts. If I pass these beasts, I would know a thing.
This is what this is called. Sorry the to crimes these... of Grindelwald.
Sorry.
Hype, colon. Sorry to these beasts. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. So.
Fantastic Beast 2. Sorry.
Sorry to these beasts. So Tina spots Credence in the distance, and then shouts, "Credence!" And so the thing about this. It's like two things. One, she's terrible at sleuthing. This is like the hot dog on her, like the investor on her nose. Mm-hmm. But it's also that like she shouts Credence and then we don't go back to Credence. So we don't know if he hears her. We don't know if he looks back. We don't know if he pretends to hear, like pauses and then almost looks and then keeps going. Like we don't see it. We just hear her shout Credence. And then we go back to the Zuwu, who is hobbling as fast as it can. Skinder knows there's no catching it now, because apparently he's still alive. Like, I thought when he got that he got, but apparently he's good. He fell, crumpled, bleeding, and now he's back at it again. So he's like, pack it up, Paris is done for us now. And I'm like, okay, but you left the zoo. So like, what kind of attraction do you have if you're not willing to like get your shit? We can Accio Nifflers, you can't Accio a Zuwu. You're not supposed to be able to Accio.
You can't Accio none of them.
But because you can melt wands and because you can apparently Accio a Niffle, you should be able to just Accio that shit and then be out. Anyway, Skinder points his wand at the tent. It shrinks to the size of a handkerchief. He pockets it. And then Tina goes to Skinder and is like, the boy with the maledictus. What do you know about him? And then Skinder says he's looking for his mother. Contemptuously says he's looking for his mother. But this is like so abrupt. Like she didn't say,
and the shit is on
hey,
fire.
I'm Tina. I'm an Aura. She didn't yeah. like say, Ayo, like that one dude, do you know him, Credence? Like, she didn't do any, hey, introduce yourself. Nothing, none of that. She just goes up to him, says a thing, and he just gives the answer. And then he says, all my freaks, they can go home. And then says, okay, let's go. And that's all he says. And it's just like, but why? Who cares?
But also,
arrest this dude. Like, please.
Right? Like, none of this is legal. Like, is this legal? None of this is legal. Why are we... Girl, Credence, what do you know about him and the Maledictus? Why aren't you like, put your hands up? You were following Newt all around New York when you ain't had no jurisdiction.
It's just dumb. He leaps under the carriage, and then they're all you know, anyway, he's clattering away into the night. It doesn't really matter because that's the last we see of him. So, but he's gone now. Tina's left on her own for a moment. Then she realizes that Kama is standing behind her. Cut to a Parisian cafe where Tina and Yusuf are sitting together at an outside table. And Tina's like, I think we're both at the circus for the same reason. And he introduces himself and is like, yep.
Wait, no, he introduces himself as Bond, James Bond.
Yeah, he does. Says, just so comma. Y'all know. He says, comma, Yusuf, comma. And you think right. And then Tina's like, what do you want with Credence? He says, the same as you. Which, like, how do you know what she wants with Credence? It just...
My note is just, this is dumb. And what about the damn beast? Where are the beasts?
Yeah, anyway, then he's like, to prove who the boy really is, if the rumors are correct, he and I are distantly related. I am the last male of my pure-blooded line, and so if the rumors are correct, he is he. Why does anyone care? Why does it matter? Like, pure-blood lines die out all the time. The Gaunts aren't around anymore. There are all of these, like, the Slytherins don't even exist anymore. I don't think there's a Gryffindor out here. I don't think there's a, like, what?
So the comma house has been entailed away. And so if Yusuf, not being able to bear heirs and has no children, needs to find the heir because the comma estate has been entailed. And if he doesn't find this heir and makes him marry one of his sisters, the sisters and the mother will be thrown out into the hedgerows.
That's not what's happening at all. I'm glad that
that's what Jane Austen said.
I'm glad that you had some, you know, you thought, but no, they just for some reason are like, this is the final, this is the last heir, and so this really matters. And
because property falls from pure blooded line,
it does not matter.
If you don't have the heir, then you're thrown out into the hedgerows. All
right, if you want to defend this shit, then good for you. It doesn't make any sense, and it does not matter who Credence is or what, like, this, the whole point of, like, Harry Potter is it doesn't matter, like, who you are and, like, where your, what your blood is and all that kind of stuff, but apparently in this book it's hold on.
Is Cora also on Netflix?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Oh,
Maggie said, tell me how I'm supposed to breathe with no air. My favorite person in the world.
Oh my gosh.
How am I supposed to breathe with no airs?
No airs.
Can't live, can't breathe. Let me go on Twitter real quick. You're going to get your attribution.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Can't live.
Kama takes out the predictions of Tycho Dodonis out of his pocket, holds it tantalizingly before her, and then asks if she's read it. And she's like, yes, but that's poetry, not proof.
Awesome.
So apparently there's some book.
Why are we talking about poetry?
There's some kind of book of poetry that talks about Credence as like the, like, what? What does this mean? Like, there's so much, like just, they're trying to make everything so fucking complicated to find out who this kid is, but really it does not fucking matter. Anyway, Kama's like, if I could show you something better, more concrete, something that proves who he is, would the ministries of Europe and America let him live? What does one have to do with the other? What does his ancestry have to do with the things that he's done and the, like, the fact that he's an Obscurus? Like, I don't think he should be destroyed because he's an Obscurus, but the ministries of Europe and America both think that he does. And so what does who he is have to do with that?
Because if he's important enough, if he comes from an important enough pure blood family, they'll let him live.
But why? Because what are you gonna teach him how to control?
Because his Dumbledore.
Anyway,
I don't know how much clearer I can be.
Okay.
He's an heir, and heirs can't be spared. And Dumbledore said,
"Got it."
And magic. Mm. So, like, how much more explanation do you need? I can't get more clear than that.
Anyway, also,
I want to go back to Tina.
Oh, uh-huh.
Sorry. GJ said, does she have jurisdiction? And Bianca said, is she even a wizard fed? Didn't she get fired on her day off? She got her job back. And she don't need your, she didn't have jurisdiction in the first film is what I'm saying.
No, she's never had jurisdiction. She never had it,
never needed it.
Yeah, she is not going to talk about that. Like, she's a white woman. She really is like, I got it. It's all good. All right, anyway, so now Tina and Kama are teaming up, I guess, or whatever. Scene 46. Are y'all ready for some dumb shit?
Oh.
Y'all ready?
Oh, God, this is great.
Okay. So, we're back at Grindelwald's hideout in the drawing room.
Oh, this is my favorite part.
Grindelwald exhales vapor from a glowing skull-shaped hookah.
Hookah!
This nigga is blowing hookah out of a dark mark.
He's smoking hookah! Out of a skull!
When I tell you, we were warned about this before we watched the movie. And still weren't prepared when it actually happened. And then I forgot about it. Because as you do, right? Like, you watch some shit and you're like, that's stupid. I'm not going to remember that. And then I'm reading this and I'm like, wait, what? This man took the time to either create or buy a hookah from a literal skull.
He had to smoke his gilly weed. Which, again, we've talked about. Fan fiction writers. Gilly weed is not weed. It will kill you.
It will kill you. Unless you're in
water.
So. But. So, this man is.
Hookah.
Out here with the dark mark
with
symbolism.
The acolytes. He puff passes.
And it's like.
Out of a skull.
And it's like, when you watch it, it's dark mark symbolism, but doesn't make any sense because
there's no
dark marks aren't a thing. So, like, it's meant to be, you can tell it's meant to, like, kind of be, like, a hint to, oh, here's for, like, you Harry Potter fan. Like, no, it's just dumb as hell. And, like, what?
Bianca said, gotta keep the goth kid vibes. I want to let you know, the other day, Aminata was playing dress up, and she came down, she was, like, goth, whatever. When I tell you this girl had on her bonnet, her sleeping bonnet, like, on her head, like a fascinator, like a beret. And a black blanket, like, thrown around like, goth fashion montage. I hate my mom. I was like, that's not even what goth is! I was never a goth, but as an emo kid, we were adjacent. And so I was very close.
Oh my gosh.
I knew some goth kids.
That's funny, because I definitely did not see any of that, but mostly because I was like, if you don't stop interrupting me, leave me alone. But
she said,
I hate my mom.
And I was like, I don't know what character this is. This is not goth, but okay.
Oh my God.
With her bonnet, y'all, way that she had her bonnet, she wasn't wearing it. She had it like leaned over so it looked like a beret. She had kind of a beret thing, but it was just kind of flopping there.
I'm like,
and a black blanket.
I'm both mad I missed it and not at all because, like, she always does stuff like this. You missed the first one. You've seen them all, you know? You'll catch the next one.
You'll catch the next one. But I was like, you were like, leave me alone. I was like, I'm trying to read.
Yeah, like,
I'm trying to read and watch because I've been watching concerts. And she just wouldn't. She came in with that and I was like, okay.
That is a mess.
So the goth kids, the magical goth kids are out here smoking hookah out of a skull.
Apparently.
And I just. Would you have thought when you cracked open at a tender age of 6 years old, you cracked open Harry Potter. And you were like, okay, I go here. I'm in it. 10 years later, you're still in it, right? You mm-hmm. still Harry Potter, you know, got to get your reread in. Mm-hmm. 15 years later, you still reading Harry Potter. At any point did you think you would read Grindelwald exhales vapor from a glowing skull-shaped hookah?
No. Who is the audience for this is my question. Who is the audience? Because it's not the children. It's definitely not the children. So, like, what is really going on here? Whose money are they trying to get? Do they know?
Oh, no.
Because
it's
what?
Glowing, too, though. Yeah, like, I smoked hookah. I'm not going to lie. Again, emo girl here. You know what I mean? We used to go to the hookah lounge.
Yeah, I mean, like, folks do that. And that's fine. But why is it a skull? And, like, why
is it glowing?
And the thing is that, like, if yeah,
my
fine.
Hookah
if
was
you
glowing?
Have, if
It wasn't like the ember from the, you know, the whatever. It's been a minute since I smoked hookah, yeah. But the thing that burns. I mean, that like it's an ember, so I guess it kind of glows because it's on fire, mm-hmm. You know, not on fire, but you know, whatever.
My thing is that, like, so I'm sure that there is skull-shaped hookah somewhere. Like, that's not really the issue. The issue is that the fact that he is smoking hookah and that it's from a skull is meant to denote that he's bad.
Yeah.
And he really wants you to know that he's bad.
I want smoked out
specifically
of
badder than Voldemort, because Voldemort does not smoke. Mm-mm. So, as far as we know. So, like, it's meant
Voldemort's
to be...
Voldemort's lungs are made out of magic, so I would doubt true. That he would really want to, you know, risk it.
Yeah. And so, like, it's one of those things where, like, they're trying so hard to convince us
Stacey said,
that
did
this
he blow
is,
smoke
like,
rings? He probably
he
did.
He probably not.
He's probably blowing smoke skulls. He would...
Just, exactly. Well, no, we'll get to what he actually is blowing, which is Ooh. What he said. Or she said. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both. But the point is, like, they're just trying, like, so hard to make us believe that, like, this dude is really, like, a bad guy. And because you can feel them.
Not the way that you do that.
Because you can tell and you can see, like, the manipulation from the background. Like, you can tell that that's what they're trying to do. It doesn't have the effect that they want it to have.
It's also one of those things where it's written and you're like... When I was in high school or whatever, the kids that smoked hookah were the, like... artsy, you know, drama kids,
right,
and they
like,
wanted to whatever.
Is not like
you know
a
what I mean?
Bad
it wasn't
thing. Like,
the
it
bad
never has been.
Right, like, they're like the bad kids or the ones that you wanted to like say they were smoking something else.
Yeah,
they were. You know, mostly most of them they're drinking something, and they were spending their weekends in Mexico and getting up to all sorts of shenanigans. It reads like. An old lady being like, what is
Ooh,
a cool kid? Yeah. Hookah.
Like, what? From a skull. Like, shut up. Like, I just, it's so dumb.
And, like, the thing, and we talked about, like, the thing with prequels is, like, Grindelwald is not worse than Voldemort. You can still make a compelling story around him. Make him the bad guy and whatever, but, like, you stop alluding to Voldemort.
Right. Like, you're making all of these...
Don't even mention Voldemort.
You're trying really hard to, like, up these stakes from Potter, and you don't. You just have to up them. The stakes have to be high enough for the world that you're creating now.
Now.
Not for the one that happens in the future. Like, so it just... Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
But more than anything, I just want y'all to understand that this man is... Smoking from hookah from a glowing
and
skull.
Then apparently we'll get
and
to
then
it. It has okay.
His acolytes
so then
his acolytes
watch as the smoke forms a vision of the Obscurus, a swirling black and flashing red, then resolves into the image of Credence. So his hookah is also a pensieve. I just want to know. What were they smoking? What was J.K. Rowling smoking? What was happening here?
Her billions.
She was smoking
millions of
she
dollars.
She literally was just burning,
Money.
Her money because what the entire fuck is even happening?
And
what kind of magic?
I personally want to like call and knock on the doors of everyone that went to Crimes of Grindelwald when the
just
third movie starts happens and
oh,
just
who
be
goes
like,
to that one and be like, why?
Why? I don't even, like, when the first trailer drops for Fantastic Beasts, we don't give a fucking about your beast anymore. I mean, who, what beast?
New beast, who this?
I wanna call everyone who purchased a ticket and say, really? Are you gonna do this again? Really?
You gonna put yourself through this again? This?
This? You ain't been able to leave the house in months, and this is what you gonna do?
Ooh, imagine.
This is where you spend
Y'all
your time.
Y'all going to the movie theater for this?
For this?
In a post? Wow. That's crazy.
It's a choice.
Anyway. So They all look excited except for Crawl for some
Who's
reason.
Who's Crawl?
We don't know. It's just one of the
Why Crawl?
I think they just had, she just wanted to choose one to be a little salty so that they can have this conversation. Anyway, so Grindelwald is talking about Credence Barebone, nearly destroyed by the woman who raised him. Yet now he seeks the mother who bore him. He's desperate for family. He's desperate for love. He's the key to
He's
our
desperate
victory.
For you to shut the fuck up.
Please. And then Crawl's like, well, we know where the boy is. Why don't we just grab him and leave? And Grindelwald goes, he must come to me freely. And he will. And so this is two things. One, because I am doing my Naruto rewatch, I'm like, this is some Orochimaru shit. This is essentially what he told his cronies about Sasuke. He was just like, he'll come to me when he's ready. But that's not what she's doing. She's doing the Voldemort thing.
Yeah.
From at the end of Deathly Hallows, where he's like, well, the boy will come to me. So just don't, you know, let him do that.
Yep.
But like, it's just so done. Especially by her. And I still don't really give a fuck about what Credence is going on, is dealing with. You know what I mean? Like, I still don't really understand or care about what's going on with Credence and why it has to do with anything that we're dealing with. So, anyway.
I'm bored.
So then he's like, the path has been laid, and as he's following it, the trail will lead him to me and the strange and glorious truth of who he is. Like, why don't you just go up to him and be like, hey, nigga, like, this is your family. What's good? You gonna join me or nah? Crawl asks why he's so important, and then Grindelwald goes to Crawl and says, this is really the dumbest shit. Who represents the greatest threat to our cause? Albus Dumbledore, says Crawl. If I asked you now to go to the school and kill him for me, would you do it?
It's just all Dumbledore all the time.
No, but it's all Dumbledore, but this is space. This is essentially, like, what Voldemort asked Draco to do. Like, it's the same shit. Like, why Dumbledore? Who cares? Credence is the only entity alive who can kill him. The only entity alive who can kill Dumbledore? The only one? You can't just catch him slipping that one time? You can't, like...
Nope.
Like, what? Is this man immortal? Like, I just don't understand. Like, I... So then, Crawl, like, you really think he can kill the Great? Can kill Albus Dumbledore? Was Dumbledore, like, always the Great, though? And that's one of the things I feel like would have been really interesting. Because from the Harry Potter books, a lot of the, like, or, like, you guess, or you, like, at least I always assume that, like, Dumbledore didn't hit, like, capital G Great status until he defeated Grindelwald. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when people were like, oh, shit, like, this is the one. Like, listen to him. We want him to be Minister of Magic. We want all these things for him. But up until then, he's just a professor at Hogwarts. And, like, why can't we see a Dumbledore? If we must see a Dumbledore at this point, why not see one who isn't, like, all omniscient and powerful and not? Why don't we now see him, like, coming into that? But instead, we just get, like, regular-ass Dumbledore who looks like Drew Law. So, whatever. Then
I think it's so cute
that I have you thoughts.
No, that you'd be thinking about all the ways in which
it could be better.
It could be.
It could be better if it just wasn't a thing.
It could be better if it wasn't.
Yeah. That's kind of what happens.
If you could, like, do pull quotes, you know, people do pull quotes, like, from critics and stuff.
Oh.
If you could do it, like, honest pull quotes. Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Black Girls Create says it could be better. If it wasn't.
Yep. And then Grindelwald says, I know he can, but will you be with us when that happens, Crawl? Will you? And, like, is Crawl supposed to be a spy? Like, I don't understand this part because I'm like, he's just asking valid questions. Like, does he suspect him of going against him? Does he think that he's a spy? Does it really matter?
I don't know.
Like, I just... Anyway, we're at
But also, by the time we get to, like, Voldemort and someone's like, I can't go, it has to be you and Dumbledore, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's so 1928.
Like, what? It has to be me?
You so 2000 and late. Like,
why does it have to be me?
We still out here trying to kill Dumbledore's ass. Can't we just send him a coupon for, like, a knitting convention to get him out the way? Why?
So, scene 47, we're on the White Cliffs of Dover. Newt and Jacob are walking with cases toward Beachy Head. Pickett pokes his head out of Newt's breast pocket. Newt's like, that man Tina's been seeing, Jacob. And Jacob's like, don't worry. She's going to see you, and she'll see the four of us together, and it'll be just like New York all over again. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, It's not how that works. Also, like, you and Queenie got some deep ass issues. Do you really just want it to go back to how it was? You're not gonna address.
Sorry, that was 3 fucking days.
Yeah, like, at the most. And how do you also? You're not even supposed to remember that. So.
But he does because he had no bad memories.
But that's bullshit because he never said
But he
that.
Had no happy memory. I mean, he only had happy memories, so he remembers everything.
That's bullshit.
Because that's how the magic works.
That's not how it works.
You know, just like everything hinges on that very glaring, very specific loophole.
So then Newt's like, yeah, but he's an R. He says he's an R, Queenie said. And Jacob's like, yeah. So what? Don't worry about him. And then Newt's like, what do you think I should say to her if I see her? And honestly, I don't care. Basically, Jacob's like, oh, you should be yourself, but don't be yourself and some shit. And then he's like, we're in this together. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you find Queenie, and we'll be happy again, just like old times. And then Newt's like, so then they get to...
Oh, the old times.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck, so we're just going to skip over it. Fig, we get to the figure.
We're supposed to be trying to at least like make. We're almost at an hour. Come on, try it. Just give it.
I already said what I feel about them being together like old times. I don't give a fuck. And what were their old times? And send Tina to jail. Like not Tina. Sorry, Queenie to jail. So like that's where I am at this point.
Just give the people what they need. You know.
All right. Cool. So. Jacob spots a sinister figure on the edge of the cliff and is like, who is this? And Newt says, he's the only way I can leave the country without documentation.
The only way.
So then this is the port key tout who's like, stir your stumps. It leaves in one minute. Then asked for 50 galleons. Newt said, like, we said 30. And the port key tout says, 30 to go to France, 20 not to tell anyone I see Newt's commander leaving the country illegally.
Chase. A bag.
He's in his bag. Okay.
Getting
his bag. Newt is mad as he pays and the port key tout is like, price of fame, pal. 10 seconds. So Newt picks up the bucket, holds it out to Jacob, and Jacob grabs it and they're pulled away into thin air. So that's where we leave off. They've been port keyed away to France.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
I have an MVP.
Me too.
Who? The Port Key Tout. Yep. Get your money.
Get your money. Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Do what you got to do. Best revenge is your paper.
Okay. That's what I heard. That's what Beyonce told me.
That's what Beyonce told us all. And considering the timeline, Beyonce is probably hanging out in a tavern at this time. Crimes of Grindelwald because nothing matters. So I don't think anyone else has an MVP. Imani says, give us what we need, the end of this nonsense. DJ says, truly cannot think of an MVP. Stacy says, no MVP. DJ also says, there are ways to kill folk outside of dueling. Seems like it would be much easier to imperious someone close to him. Like, what? And you don't think Dumbledore is already checking for this kid already? Right. Does Grindelwald think Dumbly is so... won't harm an Obscurus? Right. That's, like, the real thing. It's, like...
understanding.
Dumbledore looked at an 11-year-old
Dumbledore's
boy...
about that life, okay?
And said, I can make this work. You know what I mean? He looked at him and he said,
that is what happened.
That'll do, pig.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
He said, that ain't no problem.
That ain't no problem. So the idea that Dumbledore won't harm Credence if, you know, push comes to shove. Benched.
This dumbass plot. I couldn't even think of a person this time. I was just like, all this is dumb. Like, sorry to these characters, because y'all really could have had a better something. Y'all could have been doing something.
Oh, Nicole, MVP's alcohol, which is a constant MVP, I must say.
It gets us through.
It does what it needs to do. You know?
Yep. I do know.
It's a constant friend. There's this Brad Paisley song about alcohol. And how it's a constant presence in our lives that we should be thankful for. It's been helping white people dance.
True. Who did you dance? Who did you dance? Who did you bench?
Who did I bench? I benched the inventor of the printing press. I benched those motherfuckers in France who decided that like film was a medium that I love. Honestly, went to school for. Like, spent a lot of time thinking about the creation of film, the medium of film, the artistry behind it. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this and I was like, burn it all.
Is this really what we want?
Is it really that great, you know?
I
don't
know.
Scholastic books, I benched them. Universal, which is also like, Universal is opening up their parks again. Yikes. Like, soon. Like in June. All of these fuckers. Capitalism! Mm-hmm. Boom. Got it. Encompasses. You know, I said a lot of words word suffice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Word.
That was it. DJ benches Grindelwald, JK, who knows? Stacy says Joe, this is all her fault. Maggie benches JK for making me wonder if the WB could have made a more relevant Fantastic Beast story if she had stayed away from the project. True.
Maybe.
But then again, it's like the chick, what came first? The chicken or the egg? What came first?
Yeah.
The Beast or the Grindelwald? Like.
We don't know.
I don't know. I feel like. But also, either way, if she had stayed away from the project and the WB had done this, we could at least have had like the illusion that she not canon, and she still had some semblance of understanding of the world that she built.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true. We'd be like, but J.K. Rowling said. Meanwhile, she's still getting her checks.
Right.
It's true, but because she wrote it, we like, girl, what the fuck.
Portia says she's a turf, so she would have blown it anyway.
That's true.
It's not a bench, so.
But it is not, but it's also not wrong.
It's not wrong at all. All right.
So thanks for listening. Next week we'll discuss scenes 48 through 56 of Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Make sure to follow along. Let us know who you think is the real MVP and who's benched for the chapter. Join the conversation on Twitter at BLKGirlsCreate. Use the hashtag WizardTeam, and yeah, we will see y'all, or y'all will hear from us next week.
Bye!